Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to start a new short series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Unique Christ. That wonderful person stands absolutely unique and supremely alone. He was the only one of his kind. He was the only begotten Son of his Father. Today, with the help of the Lord, we want to consider the fact that he was unique in his birth. We're going to take up four subjects. He was unique in his birth. He was unique in his life. He was unique in his death. He was unique in his resurrection. But today, we start with his birth. We're going to turn to the first chapter of Matthew, and if you wish to follow us, you feel free to do so in your Bibles. I think there is really a gain in seeing the scriptures read and hearing them at the same time. It gives a double impress upon our minds and our consciousness. All right, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. A wonderful incarnation, if you please, of our Lord Jesus Christ, God and man in the same person, very God and very man. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, visited the angel, as did as the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, did you notice that I began this scripture reading this morning with these words, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That statement was only necessary when speaking of the birth of Christ. That statement need not be made for any other human being born into this world. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was this way. This birth was different. This birth stands uniquely and supremely alone. We know how babies come into this world. We don't need to be told that. And again, I repeat, it was only said in connection with Christ. It was on this wise. It was this way. Now, we see Joseph's trauma. In verse 19, this good, godly man. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But you see, Joseph did not know that. And he was going to put her away. He thought that she had sinned. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now this same thing was said to Mary, and we'll read the account as given to Mary. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now there is this difference, and you will notice it when we read in Luke. This verse here hints at the death of Christ, because the death of Christ was necessary to put our sins away. Now, this is not hinted at in the revelation of the angel as given to Mary. The death is not hinted, only his majesty. We'll get to it in just a few moments. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that necessitated the cruel death of Christ on the cross, that he died for our sins, yours and mine. Oh, how wonderful. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus in the New Testament is Joseph, or rather, in the Old Testament, is Joshua. And Joshua means the Savior. Jehovah the Savior, rather. But here he is, Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And the complete scripture in Isaiah 7 and 14 reads, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Oh, the wonder of his birth. Then Joseph obeyed. After he had heard the angel's explanation, his mind was set at rest. Thank God. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, as she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Oh, that obedience was indeed wonderful. Now, let's read the account in the Gospel according to St. Luke and see the differences, the small, minute differences that occur. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of David forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, how majestic the words of the prophet, the angel, as he spoke these words to her. And the angel, of course, was great Gabriel. Then Mary was in a trauma. She had questions arise in her mind, just as Joseph did, about the pregnancy of Mary. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She accepted it. She didn't question it, but she had a question. And she asked the question. And believe me, the angel answered the question. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And now Mary obeys. She said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now notice, please, the majesty of the persons of Christ, Mary's question, and then Mary's obedience. Now we have a revelation given to Simeon in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke about this unique person, this one who was born of a virgin. We read in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 2, this was after the birth of Christ. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit revealed it to him. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He was told what he was going to see, and he found it just as it was. He blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He did not limit this to the Jewish race, though he certainly includes them. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then he goes on to say, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and shall be a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, after the child is born, he tells Mary he's going to be the Savior. You remember when he took that little baby into his arms? He took him up in his hands and in his arms and blessed God, and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yes, Joseph knew this was the Savior, or rather Simeon knew that this was the Savior that was going to come and die for the sins of the world. Think of this man, the breadth of what he saw. And I think he saw the cross, because he said to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. Now next we read, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. Two wonderful men, two wonderful ladies had a revelation from God as to who Christ was. Our Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus was unique, and we pray that he shall take that place in our lives as being uniquely supreme and alone as we worship him. In his name we pray. Amen.